Hello, mamas.
Almost everyone in their life has encountered the type of person who hates popular things. Okay, the type of person who only listens to artists on Spotify that have 200 monthly listeners. They don't have TikTok installed on their phones or, frankly, any real social media, maybe like a Substack account. They have never seen a Marvel movie before. They only watch like a 1920s German war movie that is in black and white and has no audio at all. These people at face value can be kind of annoying sometimes. They are very opposed to things that are generally popular to everyone, you know, very crowd-pleaser activities and movies and media. And it almost begs the question, why? And is there merit to this? The act of just hating things that are popular strictly because they are popular. Obviously, not everyone that listens to indie music, not everyone that doesn't have TikTok is like this, is like some big hater of things that are popular. But I want to dive into the things that they might be onto something about. Because I'm not saying all popular things suck, but we are kind of getting to a point where popular things are becoming increasingly bad. And we'll get into all this right after this quick break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
When I was in this mindset of only liking things popular, I think it came from a place of comfort, okay? Because I used to really be like this. I used to only enjoy things that were popular. I'd only listen to the top 20 on iTunes. I'd only watch like Marvel blockbuster movies. Like I'd be caught dead watching like a movie that came out like 20 years ago, or like a movie that wasn't like one of the main blockbusters playing at the theater. I couldn't do it. And I truly don't know like what it was. I think it was stemming from like a fear of, you know, why would I waste my time watching something that isn't popular? Because things that are popular have this like inherent kind of quality to them that they're popular for a reason. Okay, we don't just like let things become popular that suck for the most part. That for the most part, there's a lot of exceptions to this. But I wouldn't want to watch something that, you know, was maybe like a movie that only 100,000 people were going to see, because I thought, well, if it's not big, if it's not popular, it's because it sucks. Same thing would go, like, I'd apply that mantra to, like, a lot of things in life. I would rather go to, like, a chain restaurant, like a Cheesecake Factory, rather than, like, a local restaurant or a pub or grill. Because I thought, well, Cheesecake Factory has 2,000 locations, and that's for a reason. It's because they're the best. They make the best cheesecake across the nation. But Why would I go to this little small town restaurant that mom and pop made and they can't even expand to become a multinational corporation? And I was pretty much the complete opposite of the people that I mentioned earlier, where they hate everything that's popular. I hated everything that wasn't popular. And I think this is a very common kind of mantra, okay? Most people aren't willing to just like watch like a random movie at the theater. If you want to see a movie, you're going to want to see like one of the most popular movies. Even if there's like a movie playing, like something nominated for an Oscar or something that is, you know, more critically acclaimed. I mean, when I like actually don't know English, it's like more critically acclaimed, but it's like a smaller movie. It has a smaller budget, okay? It doesn't have the Marvel CGIs. Most people are going to go see the Marvel movie. And that's like a whole other conversation to talk about problems and culture with the Marvelification of movie theaters, but I've done like pretty much a 180 flip from that, which is very strange because the media and the content that I consume now would make like 15-year-old me actually cringe. I would like throw up. I'd be like, why are you watching that? And I'm not saying I'm like fully in the vein of hating all things that are popular now. I think there are still some things that become popular that are good. And, you know, one of the few things that I think TikTok has brought to culture that's been good was finding things that probably wouldn't have a distribution system to become popular are now becoming popular. Like, for example, like some indie artists that make like legitimately just good music, like across the board, the quality is amazing and it's good music and a good song and they're good artists, get to blow up. Whereas before, the music industry was controlled by like labels and they were the gatekeepers. They could decide who would blow up. It wasn't always necessarily like a matter of what is the best becomes popular and becomes pop music. It was whatever the record labels or management companies decided they wanted to promote and invest money and time into would be what would blow up. So with that all being said, I noticed like a change, I think, when I was like 15 and I like gained self-awareness and like started like actually critically thinking about why I consume the media that I do. I think I was watching like the probably like 8th Marvel Cinematic Universe movie, just like blindly walking in and be like, give me Iron Man. And then I was like, why am I going to watch this? Because a lot of like Marvel movies I'd watch and like just feel nothing afterwards. I'd be like, well, that it was like I went, it was like I ate movie McDonald's. It was sweet. It had its comedy moments. It had its sad moments. It had a post-credit scene. Wow. And that I would just take that and accept that and then move along. And then I started, I would like go on like other social media sites. Like I'd go on like Tumblr and stuff, which had like a little bit more edge, not even edgy, but like I was being exposed to content that wasn't in the widespread mainstream culture of things, like movies that would fly under the radar, music that would fly under the radar. And I started to realize like my irrational fear of media that isn't popular is irrational. It's stupid. Obviously, you know, there's artists that suck. Sorry, there's music that sucks. There's movies that suck. But it isn't necessarily like reflective. Like, just because something isn't popular does not mean it's bad. And that's something that took me a long while to figure out.
Dua Lipa.
You know, when I play my music to people who I really respect or look up to, then I hear my songs in a different perspective.
Cardi B.
I know what it feels like when you feel like everybody turn your back and like, don't ever think it's because you did something wrong.
Harry Styles.
I feel like I'm falling more and more in love with making music each time I get to do it.
You know these artists for their songs, videos, and epic performances.
But they have so many stories beyond their fame.
That's what we're here to share with you on the Spout Podcast.
We sit down with some of the biggest names in music.
And along the way, our guests reveal stories that even their biggest fans may have never heard before.
Check out the Spout Podcast to hear famous people spout off about more than what they're famous for.
And find out who's spouting off next.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
And as this started growing in my head, as I started realizing like, oh my God, like there's stuff that isn't super mega popular. iTunes top 20. Movie theater number one blockbuster, New York Times bestseller. There's stuff that isn't that, and it's still good. And I was like, wow. And it was almost like an avalanche of me realizing that a lot of the shit that I liked was literally just because I was like a sheep and had no personality and just filled it with whatever was popular, thinking, I don't even know what like the thinking was behind it. Like, I guess there's like some comfort in knowing that if you consume all the most popular media, you have lots of kind of material in common with other people because everyone's heard the most famous, the most popular songs. Everyone's seen the most popular movies. It gives you stuff to talk about. You can't go up to like a random stranger and be like, what did you think of the indie movie Melancholia 2011 by Lars von Trier? Like, maybe you can, but I also realized from that like the connections you have with people that share something that's more niche, say you both like a band that's like very, very small and you find someone that also enjoys it, that is going to be such a stronger bond than say you meet someone and you're like, have you seen The Avengers? Whoa, you've seen The Avengers too? That's crazy. Like, that's that's not as strong of a bond. So I was just finding like all these kind of like realization. I was like really realizing and shit. And I was like, wow, like I was kind of just a sheep. But then I became the opposite side of the same coin. I started to hate all things popular just because they were popular. I fully did like the 180 flip into that. I only really got over this recently, realized that, wow, I was literally just doing the same shit that I was doing when I was 15. And a lot of this is warranted. I think a lot of the media that is popular right now, oh, Kobe's joining us. Kobe, come on. She is such an attention whore. She needs to always be in front of the camera. Also, she got shaved and she looks like a rat. It's really crazy. She looks like uncooked chicken from Walmart. Interrupted my train of thought, little rat. I basically would look at anything that was popular as like nasty, and I almost like started to expand that to like people that consumed popular things. I was like, ew. I wouldn't like directly say it to their face, but I'd be like, you're literally only watching that because society's telling you to. Like, not exactly like that, but like along those lines. I kind of found it was like my eye was open. I'm like, oh, these people are only watching Marvel movies because they are hypnotized by mass media and the movie industry. And they're only listening to Dua Lipa because they put frequencies in the music to make people addicted. Like, I became very disenfranchised with basically anything that was popular. And it that also, once again, expanded to every aspect of my life. I was like, well, I just can't go to Ralph's for groceries. I have to go to Whole Foods. And basically, anytime there was any sort of thing to consume, I'd try and find, like, the smaller alternate to it, which has its benefits, okay? I'm not saying this is, like, a necessarily completely bad thing to do, to like always try and like see your options. If you want to see a movie, seeing everything that's playing, like taking a critical look at everything that is playing in a theater, regardless of what the most popular thing is. For music, same thing. Video games, like you can apply it to like almost any kind of like media, content, food, anything that you basically consume. I think that's healthy, but it got to a point where I would only specifically look for a smaller thing just so I wasn't like in the mainstream thought sheep herd. And that I think that was like a little less harmful than just blindly following things because they were popular, because I was generally exposed to a lot of like kind of underground movies, underground music that I really just love. Like, popularity aside, they could have like 10 million monthly listeners or have two and I wouldn't care. And I know this is a fact because I've listened to artists that have blown up on fucking TikTok and all of a sudden have like 10 million monthly listeners, but I've been there since day one and I was there because I knew their shit was good and then it blew up because it was popular. And that was one of the few times that popularity works as like a good machine, by finding things that are actually high quality, and then it spreads it to the masses, and other people realize, oh, this is good, high quality stuff, and so it blows up. But anyways, I want to talk about why it's so common for people who are like prone to not having personalities. That sounds so harsh to say, but like, why people who are very impressionable and like prone to not have a personality tend to jump to one side or the other, and why they're both bad. And we'll get into that right after this quick break. So what I was getting into earlier was like, popularity used to be like a mark of quality that something was good. And I think that still means that that's still the case a lot of the time. You see things rise to the top of the popularity charts, whatever it is, like Spotify charts, movie charts, YouTubers, food, recipes, whatever, what have you, because they're genuinely good. And you know, throughout history and like even now, there's still so much like influence and interference in like what becomes popular for music, record labels promoting shit, for movies, literally just depends on how much they spend on marketing a movie. It's okay to like have a bit of, to enjoy both. Like you don't have to be like, I only listen to underground stuff. You don't have to be like, I only watch Marvel movie. I only watch the most. I don't even have a Spotify playlist. I only stream the most, the top 40 playlist. The viral hits 50. You don't have to do one or the other. It's okay to enjoy things from both. And that's what I've like landed on. That's what I've arrived at this point, is realizing that it's like not, it's stupid to just have such a narrow worldview where you're so quick to cancel out anything that doesn't fit your worldview. What has made me like so happy that I've been able to achieve is like a level of openness with media, where even if it's something that I don't think I'd like, I'm still into it. And this is something that like, it's one of my pet peeves when people will just discount. I really love movies. I'm a big movie lover, big film guy over here. I wouldn't say I'm like a full on film bro, but I enjoy a good movie. And it kind of sucks when I'll have like a movie that I know that I really love that might have like come out in like the 70s or something, or it's in black and white, or things that make it like not as accessible as a movie that would come out today. Maybe it's in like a different, like it's in like Croatian and has English subtitles. And then I really want to show it to someone. I want to show it to a friend because I'm like, wow, this is like an amazing film. And then I like tell them, yeah, so it's in Croatian. They're like, yeah.
I don't watch movies that are subtitled.
And things like that are like definitely, it's not easiest to watch a movie with subtitles. Okay, you have to activate the friggin' reading part of your brain. Or black and white, it's not as visually stimulating. Or an old movie, could be like a mixture of all those things. Or I'm trying to think what else makes like old movies unappealing. Like, it's like not in HD, it's not like 4K, like you can like feel the crispness on your eyeballs. So it's like, it kind of upsets me when people just like discount entire types of movies because of these things. But then on the other hand, I've done that in the past, but like from the other side, like when I was in my real like hating popular things era, like so, like, oh my God, Outer Banks. I mean, I still like to this day stand by like my opinion that it is a horrible show. Like, I actually tried to watch it, but when I first was like being forced to watch it by people, they're like, watch Outer Banks, I was like so against it because it was like the number one like popular thing on Netflix, and it felt like such like McDonald's entertainment, and I was just like so against it at the time. And like since then, I've given it an honest shot. I'm like, okay, you know what, it's popular for a reason. Like, people that I really love and care about have been like, this show's so good. And then I'm like, okay, I'll sit down and watch it. And then I watch it, and I fucking hate it still, because it's bad. So, so, just having an openness, I think, is the best thing you can do. Like, being willing to try new things and experience them with an open mind, and not, like, only because someone or society or the Netflix top 10 is like telling you to watch it or consume it. Because there's such a world, like, some of the movies that I've watched since I kind of broke away from only watching popular things are, like, actually, like, incredible pieces of film that have, like, fully shaped my worldview and, like, how I, like, interact with the world and, like, have, like, genuinely changed my life. Like, I know that's so cringe to, like, say, but some of the movies, like, I've, like, had entire, like, life decisions made about because it was, like, so impactful to me. And I don't really see that with, like, some of the popular media nowadays. Now we're going back to dogging on popular media again. But it's, like, things that are popular often, like, are not going to be, like, niche or, like, alienate viewers. Their main goal is to have it appeal to as many people as possible, okay? They're not taking, like, risks or making experiments. And that's one of, like, the biggest problems I have with things that are popular. Like, for the most part, they're not going to try out crazy new techniques, plot structures, have characters that will piss people off. You see this occasionally. For example, like, in, this won't be a spoiler, but in The Last of Us, the second game, there is an insane, like, decision made that pissed literally everyone off. And it was an incredibly popular game, but they, like, made this, like, insanely experimental decision, and I loved it. I loved how it turned out, and I thought it was, like, genius. And you don't often see that, okay? Like, you can pretty much expect to go into, like, I know I'm, like, just really fucking dogging on Marvel today, but you can go into pretty much any Marvel movie with a list of expectations, and you'll leave with almost every single one of them met. There will be cool graphics, there will be funny comedic moments sprinkled throughout, like Parmesan and a nice bowl of pasta. There will be action, and then a big action scene around, like, the hour and a half mark, and then there will be an after credit scene. And it's like, you know exactly what to expect, and that's why I freaking love movies that is just so unexpected. And to take a break from talking about movies, back to music, like, you don't, what, a lot of my favorite artists are, like, kind of very experimental, and I'm really, like, really sounding like the exact person that I was, like, dogging on earlier, but it's fucking true, it's true. Like, experimental music is so much more fun because it's experimenting. You don't hear experiments from mainstream artists for the most part, like, so, like, the artists that are in the top 40 are making music that they're making music that they know listeners will love, and, like, you could just play in a dental office, and people would be, like, shaking their ass to, or not even shaking their ass, but, like, just, like, pleasantly listening to. And I think it's sad, because obviously, like, if you start experimenting in your music, you know, you're using, like crazy synths and screaming or shit like that, or, like, switching up the line. I don't know, like, it's hard to describe, like, how experimental music sounds. Like, you can come up with some really interesting sounding things. And for example, like, there's few exceptions to this, but, like, Lil Yachty is a really good example of this, because he comes from, like, almost like the SoundCloud rap world, blew up, like, alongside a lot of mumble rappers, and kind of comes from that area, and then just made this, like, beautiful, like, I don't even know what to call it, like, almost like rock album. And it is so experimental. It's such a departure from what he was used to do and what he was even expected to do. Like, the last song he released before that was, like, the I Took the Walk to Poland song, and then he comes out with this, like, fascinating, like, rock album. And so I really just, like, appreciate when artists do that, because, like, it was genuinely good. Obviously, you can experiment and it can flop, it can be, like, bad. Like, that happens all the time with my YouTube channel. Like, I'll try out, like, a new type of content or try something I've never, like, done before, or, like, put a spin on something that's, like, a lot different than what people would probably expect from my videos. And sometimes it fucking flops. Sometimes, like, it gets, like, half the views. But I'm never, like, I mean, I'm a little bit like, but like, I don't beat myself up about it because like, I'm glad that I tried, because the only reason why I like ever, I think, was able to like find success on YouTube is because I tried like new things out that I didn't like really see other people doing, I guess. This doesn't go for a lot of stuff. Like, obviously, Omegle, that bitch, that has been and done. Done and been and done. But, like, other types of, like, content that I've tried out, I've been pleasantly surprised. Like, I made a 40-minute video that had, like, very minimal editing, and I posted it, like, right after, like, the most, like, hyper-edited video ever. And it pleasantly surprised me. It literally, like, is one of my biggest videos now. And that blew my mind. And that only happened because I experimented with it. So I'm talking about the vegan teacher documentary. That I easily could have like edited into what I knew was like tried and true, and like had added like a billion edits and sound effects. And I'm not saying that's like inherently bad. Like, I do enjoy like just absolutely going like psychotic with the sound effects. I still really just do enjoy that and making little shit posts. But trying out like this new technique where there's like very minimal editing. I only used classical music. I didn't use like any kind of like YouTube-ish music or even like popular music or anything like that. I literally just like used like classical music, and it was so different from what I usually post, and it fucking worked somehow, like by the grace of God. It turned out good. And also, like, just while I was making it, like, before I even posted it, like, regardless of, like, the reception it got, I was just, like, happy with how it was coming along and, like, how I made it, because I was able to unlock, like, so many different kind of, like, creative juices in my brain that were, like, itching to be used and weren't necessarily being used for, like, my regular videos. So I think just, like, overall, I know, like, this is, like, the conclusion I come to in so many of these, like, culture critique, like, podcast episodes that I do, but it's, like, just being open-minded to, like, literally anything. Maybe not literally anything. Like, I'm not saying, like, go freaking, like, do BDSM. I mean, do that if you want. I don't know. But, like, being open-minded to things that you never thought you would like is such a beautiful thing. And it really, like, kind of fucks with your head. When you start liking things that you know you would have hated, like, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, it's weird. It's a weird feeling to, like, start, like, I hated indie music. Like, I actually made it, like, part of my personality that I thought indie music was, like, stupid when I was in middle school. And now, like, I listen to so much of, like, kind of, like, alternative indie old music. All things that I would have found, like, so cringe and, like, would have sucked as a kid. So overall, just like, let yourself explore. Don't get too like locked into any one thing. And to like conclude, no, not like all popular music is bad, but that also means that not all popular music is good. And same goes with indie music. There's a lot of fucking terrible, like, just dudes with a guitar that are like, gaslighted my girlfriend, but she's a lesbian. Like, a lot of indie music sucks ass, but there's a lot of good stuff, and there's no way to know what's good and what's bad if you don't explore. So anyways, let's wrap this episode up with some drama. This is Drama Mama. If you want me to read your drama on a future episode, please just comment it below on the YouTube video version of this podcast. If you're not subscribed, come on down. Subscribe. YouTube.com/drama. I think. I actually don't know if that's the URL. Fucking don't listen to that. Just search Drama Mama on YouTube. And I'll read your drama on a future episode. Please keep it short. Please keep it like three sentences. Okay. But this comes from Grayson. So I have this trio, and we used to be very close. Like, all of us would talk every night for hours. We're online friends. We had this thing we all bonded over until, let's call her Betty, stopped liking it and grew out of it. Now I just need to accept the fact that we've all changed, but it's so hard. I still have my other friend, though. Any advice? This is like, oh, I feel this, because I had a friend group that was like very much like held together by like Minecraft. Like, Minecraft was like pretty much our glue. And we started to grow out of it. It wasn't necessarily like exactly like your story here where like one person stopped liking it, but we definitely felt like our interest in it was like kind of fading. Like our Minecraft world was like decked the fuck out. Like we had everything, every amenity you could think of. We had a fucking transit system. We had it all. And then when you realize like that glue is starting to dissolve, y'all start like drifting apart, and that's a scary thing. I think there's always, if you bonded over one thing, y'all can find like a new thing to become friends over. It might not be the easiest thing. It's hard to like get a friend group to start enjoying like a new thing after the thing that held y'all together kind of disappears. But also just like in the future, whenever you're starting a friend group, try and like keep the things that you guys do like as diverse as possible. Like for example, if you only know each other from school, make sure you hang out outside of school. So like if school disappears, like when y'all graduate, you'll still have something to like bond together. Just always like have things to keep the glue nice and sticky. Sorry. But I'm sorry that it really does suck seeing like a friend group fall apart like that. Screw you, Betty. Betty, you suck ass. Anyways, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Let me know what you think about popular things. If you're in the same boat as me, if you've been a hater like I have in the past, I'm very curious. But thank you for listening. I'll see you next Wednesday. Take care, mamas. Love you so much. Bend of the week. It's chill.